fall sermon series, The Gospel in Disney. Not the gospel according to Disney. No, it's still the gospel according to Jesus Christ. But it's illustrated or as glimpsed in the Disney animated classics. See, Disney has a way of connecting with us, all of us, resonating with who we are and what we are experiencing, what we yearn for. So we're going to take a few weeks and look at some Disney animated classics. Yep, right down to Frozen, to see how our faith in Jesus speaks to our current situation. Now, I'm drawing on the work of the Reverend Adam Hamilton, the pastor of the Church of Resurrection, a United Methodist congregation in Kansas City, who crafted this series years ago, originally. I'm reading some of his ideas, and one of those is like the insert you see in your bulletin today, the GPS guide. I invite you to take that out. We're going to be having these for our worship the next few weeks. And there's a spot on there to take some notes on the high points of the sermon or what God's speaking to you, but also some things for you to engage with this in the week ahead on a daily basis, if you'd like to come back to that each day. Remember who you are. The Lion King originally came out exactly 20 years ago, 1994. And that year, it was the highest grossing film of the year. And it earned two Oscars, one of which was for the soundtrack made by Elton John and Tim Rice. It was the highest grossing animated film, just shy of $1 billion, until 2010, when it was surpassed by Toy Story 3. And it still now to this day holds third place, with Frozen now being at the top. The movie's magic, like all good art, is that it speaks to the human condition, our condition. The gospel, you see, is God's response to our human condition, God's response to us. The opening scene, which we just saw, is where the new lion prince, his name is Simba, is consecrated and then presented to the whole community. That, to me, just reminds me of baptism. Especially that scene where the clouds part and a ray of sun comes down upon him, you know? Perhaps we can see Jesus in Simba a bit. And the magi who came to worship him around him, the shepherds. Did you know that in the Bible, Jesus is called the king, and Jesus is called the lion? Or perhaps in Simba we can see ourselves, for we are all born with a purpose, an identity, a destiny. Perhaps we can see both Jesus and ourselves as we look at this movie a bit. Well, in the first part of the movie, it's a story of a father and son. King Mufasa, voiced by the deep-throated James Earl Jones, and his son Simba. The father is trying to raise his son in wisdom and in leadership, wanting to equip him to someday be able to live into his destiny. You know, school has started this past week, and we're all kid-focused again. And that has got me thinking. My kids are all going in a higher grade than they were last year. Dang, they're growing up. How are they doing? I mean, where it really matters. Am I parenting them well? What do they need for growing? Not just physically, or emotionally, or in education, academically, but in character, in personality, in their identity. Do they know who they are? Do they know that God created them for a purpose, for a destiny? Do I remind them of that enough in ways that shape and form them? Are they growing up into it? How do you shape that? Well, how were you shaped? Think Think about that. How did you come to embrace who you were created to be, where you're at in that journey? If your parents helped you do that, how did they? This movie reminds me that in reality, our kids don't do what we say, they do what we do. They learn from watching us. Don't we usually get it backwards, right? What do we say? We actually even say it. Don't do what I say. I got it backwards. What a great setup, and then crash. All right, what do we say? Do what I say, not what I do. We even say it that way, don't we? But then they do what we do, not necessarily what we say, right? So as you're thinking about how we're shaping those that God has given under our influence, and this may be grandparents or church parents or community kids, parent or influence, think first, what do you do? What do they see you doing? What do you look like when they see you at your worst? You know, lately I've been thinking about the difference between what I say that my kids should do and what I model. Even something like how I resolve disagreements with my wife. And then I expect them to go and behave differently, you know, better with their friends at school. This fall, as we are again kid-focused here, let's decide to go to our Heavenly Father and ask Him to help us be who our kids need us to be. Let's make that our daily prayer, starting today. Every morning, before you talk to the kids that God has placed in your lives, talk first with your Heavenly Father. Ask Him to make you who they need you to be. What do you think? Will you do that with me? Make a commitment starting this week in the morning? Well, Mufasa shows Simba the extent of their kingdom and tells his son explicitly to not go to the elephant graveyard. So, of course, Simba immediately disobeys and goes there. And what he does not know is that that's where the hyenas lurk. And he and his friend get into a mess and are almost eaten. Luckily, he's rescued by his dad. But then, of course, comes the talk.
Simba, I am very disappointed in you.
I know.
You could have been killed. You deliberately disobeyed me. And what's worse, you put Nala in danger.
I was just trying to be brave like you.
I'm only brave when I have to be. Simba, being brave doesn't mean you go looking for trouble.
But you're not scared of anything.
I was today.
You were?
Yes. I thought I might lose you.
I guess the kings get scared, huh? But you know what?
What?
I think those hyenas were scared.
Because nobody messes with your dad. Come here, you.
No.
Simba, tell you something that my mother told me. Look at the stars. The great kings of the past look down on us from those stars.
Really?
Yes. So whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so am I.
As parents who follow Jesus, we first come to know that we are children of God. And then we help our kids see that they too are children of God. It's our job to shape our kids' identity as God's children. We must continually remind them that, yes, they are our kids, but more than that, they are God's kids, too. They need to remember who they are. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is who we are. We, as adults around our kids, need to model that they are children of God. Mufasa is trying to shape Simba's identity. Godly parents are to try to shape their kids' identity. And we see that piece of parenting in the Bible all over the place. And let's go back to the very first book of the Bible. Did you know that the Lion King is actually a biblical idea? In the Bible, the promised Messiah king is called a lion. And so therefore, like if you've ever seen the Chronicles of Narnia, a Jesus-based movie series, the Jesus figure, Aslan, is a lion. Well, it goes back to Jacob in Genesis. Jacob is Abraham's grandson. Jacob had 12 kids. One of them was Joseph with the many colored coats. Right? And when Jacob is nearing death, he calls his 12 sons to him and proclaims a blessing over each one of them. He gives them each a word, a description. He shapes their identity. And it seems that God inspired this shaping because all of that was proclaimed over them comes true. When he gets to his fourth son, Judah, he breaks out into this word. Genesis 49. You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not part from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. So he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. A cryptic prophecy. Jacob calls Judah a lion. And then he says that this ruling, reigning lion identity will continue with his family. That the scepter, the royal line, will always be with his descendants. He even goes so far to say that when a special descendant comes, he will be a special king that all the nations will obey. Now back then, they didn't have a clue what that meant. There would be no kings among the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, for nearly 1,000 years. But finally, there are kings. And David is now king. He's the greatest king the Hebrews have ever known, will ever know on earth. The people wondered, is this now the fulfillment of the ancient prophecy way back from Jacob? But the nations still don't obey him. So there must be even a greater one coming. And this prophecy gets linked then to the Messiah, who's foretold as a king who will come. And so by 1,000 years later, the time of the New Testament, when Jesus shows up, the people are waiting and looking for a Messiah king. The last book of the Bible, when it shows the end times, Revelation, again, the Lion King appears. John the Apostle is having a vision, and in the vision, the elders gather around the heavenly throne and praising the king. And John is told that the lion of the tribe of Judah has become totally victorious. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Jesus is the foretold lion of the tribe of Judah, a descendant of King David, and an even greater king than he was. And he wins victory over sin and death by dying on the cross. At the end times, he is raised up above all earthly powers, and indeed all the nations do obey him. He is the victorious Lion King, promised from the first book of the Bible to the last. Well, in the movie, the later part of the movie, half of the movie, is about Simba and Scar. Scar is Mufasa's brother and represents the dark side. He wants to become king rather than his brother and nephew. So he devises a plot to kill both Simba and Mufasa. Scar seems to represent the dark side in each of us. Jealousy, coveting, power, control, status, making it all about us. So we're supposed to be scared of Scar, partly because we also see him inside ourselves. The Bible calls this our sin nature. We are, after all, deep down, selfish. We're each drawn to it, and it's scary because being selfish at first seems so rewarding, but in the end, it draws us to those things that hurt not only ourselves, but those we love. And so it makes no sense. But it's true. When you stop thinking about what you're doing, that's what sin makes you do. It makes you stop thinking about what you're doing. Making sense no longer matters anymore. There's an appetite all its own that's raging. And just read about the Ferguson, Missouri shooting. There's hate and anger and selfishness all over that one. And look in the background, behind what's going on. People come in from out of town, sneak behind the demonstrators, and use them as cover to loot shops and start riots. Wow. You know, when I think of evil, I think of Hitler or Stalin, right? They killed to have power. In the movie, there's a sense of Scar commanding the hyenas. And it's given in a scene where the hyenas are marching, goose-stepping, like the Nazi goose-step. In the Bible, it's Satan who leads it. He was the first to give in to the selfishness and rebel against God. And, are you ready for this? In the Bible, Satan is portrayed also as a lion. 1 Peter 5:8 warns Christians, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may looking for someone to devour." That's well represented in this movie here. Scar, a lion, sets the plot. He has Simba wait down in the cavern for a surprise. And then he sends the hyenas to go make the water buffalo starting to stampede down through the cavern. He tells Mufasa that his son Simba is in trouble down in the cavern, and Mufasa goes to rescue him. And as Mufasa's trying to get out, Scar flips him back into the stampede where he is trampled to death. Now, Scar wanted them both dead by accident. But Simba survives. Well, he takes advantage of the situation and tells Simba it was actually all his fault, and tells him to run away and never come back. The word devil actually means slanderer. The word Satan means accuser. Revelation says that Satan accuses us. He tells us it's all our fault, that our sin is just so great that God could never love us, that we could never be forgiven. This is the great lie of Satan. And so when we give in to the selfishness, the darkness inside, then we have to eventually run away. We run away from who we are. We run away from God's plan in our lives, our destiny, who we were created to be. And when Simba runs away, Scar takes over the Pride Lands. He gets what he wanted. But his rule is so full of evil and hate that everything is thrown out of balance and the lands are slowly destroyed. Well, out in the wilderness, Simba is adopted by two carefree critters, a meerkat named Timon and a warthog named Pumbaa. And they teach Simba that the way to survive is to simply forget all that is past. Live in the present and don't care about anything. Their catchphrase is, what church? Oh, you all know that as well as you know John 3:16, don't you? Hakuna Matata. It means no worries, right? This has pervaded our culture. And so Simba lives by this Hakuna Matata and forgets where he came from, who he was, and all his family and responsibilities back home. He deals with his guilt by not worrying about it, ignoring it. This is the phrase the prodigal son lived by in Jesus' story. He simply forgot about his past. But eventually that emptiness inside in the story, symbolized by his hunger in his stomach, becomes too much to ignore. And in this movie, it's the same. The family back home are living in despair, and one of them accidentally discovers Simba and reaches out to him for help. His past has caught up with him. And now Simba has a choice to make.
Sure do. You move fastest, boy. Hey, wait. You're my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
No! Wrong again!
He's alive!
And I'm shouting to you. You follow Rafiki, he knows the way. Come on.
Look down there.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No.
Look at her. You see? He lives in you.
We are like Simba. We are made in God's image. We forget who we are. We may even reject who we are. We live in the moment, hoping to forget all that guilt that has piled up upon us. The emptiness inside becomes too much. You are a child of God. God has His claim on you. His image is in you. Even if you ignore or reject it, God has a purpose and a destiny for your life. The only way for you to be whole is for you to live into it. Running away can be so painful. It can be so empty. Hakuna Matata only works for a while. Remember that you are a child of God. You are called for a purpose. There's a greater plan for your life. Remember who you are. And keep remembering. Every day, remind yourself. Every time you shower, every time you bathe, I want you to remember that you are baptized. I want you to say to yourself, remember who you are as the water runs over your head. You are a child of God. You have a greater identity. It's been proclaimed over you. Your baptism. Every time you shower, remember you belong to God. Every morning, talk to your Heavenly Father before you talk to your kids. And pray that into your kids too. Every time you tell them to shower, tell them to remember. Remember who they are. Simba goes back. He confronts his fears and guilt. And it's hard and a battle ensues. But we know how it ends, right? It's Disney. That's why we love movies like this. It ends the way we want it to end. You know, that's true in real life, too. In Revelation, at the end of time, it says that the real Lion King will come back. He will defeat the lion of evil and put everything right. Revelation says, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor the scorching of heat. For the Lamb... See, the Lion King has not turned into a Lamb King. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is our promise. This is our destiny. This is our future. So doesn't that change things now for you? Do you invest in kids? That God has placed in your lives. Be sure to shape their God-given identity. How about that inner scar you struggle with? It leads to pain and destruction, and it calls you away from who you were created to be. Stop forgetting. Remember who you are. You are a child of the one true God. You are a child of the eternal King. No matter what you're walking through right now, know that it will not be that way forever. For in the end, the Lion King wins. Pray with me. Oh God, we pray seeking your forgiveness for how we have walked away from your image in us. The ways that we live out Hakuna Matata in our lives. The ways that we forget. The ways that we run away and flee and avoid our calling. Oh God, we want to be your children. We want to restore that image to fullness in us. Only you can do that. So God, use us. We offer our lives to you and ask you to transform us. Make us new. And make us part of how the kids you've placed in around our lives can hear and see and know that too. Know that for who they are. That we have a shared reward in glory from you. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.